Ex-Husband's Regret by Evelyn M. M. Chapter 311. Don't even get me started on Gunnar. He is just a kid, yet I've done so much damage that I don't even know where to begin fixing what I've broken. He's my flesh and blood, yet I've done everything to run from that little fact. I feel ashamed when I think of all I've put him through. I remember how Ava stood up for Noah. How she was ready to go toe to toe with me for his sake. I remember the fire burning in her eyes. She was ready to do anything to protect her son, yet I've done everything to hurt my own son. I don't have all fucking day, Emma. His sharp voice brings me back to reality. I was just driving around, and I ended up here, I whisper, feeling really awkward. The last time I saw him was when he told me that he was done with me. I never really got to know Calvin, and now I feel awkward around him. When you take out sex in the equation, we were basically strangers to each other. I thought I told you I never wanted to see you again. That I didn't want you in my life or Gunnar's. He folds his hands around his chest and making his bicep bulge. I know, I answer, looking down at my feet. I feel so ashamed that it's hard to keep eye contact with me. We are quiet for a while, and Mom's words come back to me. How about you start by righting your wrongs? Was it really that easy? And would he and Gunnar even forgive me for years and years of pain? You need to leave, Emma. Calvin's voice interrupts my musings. I don't want Gunnar to come home and find you here. Mom's words keep playing in my head as I stare at him. The more I thought about them, the more I accepted them. Maybe it was time I made amends. The moment they settle inside me, peace washes over me. This is why I ended up here. My heart and soul knew that this was what I needed to do. It was time to fix everything I destroyed with my bare hands, all because I couldn't let go of a love that was dead and gone. Can I stay and meet him? I ask, begging with my eyes. I'm sorry for all the shit I put you and Gunnar through. I want to fix things. Give me a chance to fix things and redeem myself. I want to be in his life. He stares at me for a while. His eyes penetrating mine. I hold my breath, waiting for his answer. Waiting to hear what he has to say. My heart drops, and my soul shatters when he shakes his head. No, the thing is, Emma, you're already too late. The damage you caused can't be undone. The pain is embedded deep inside our hearts, and I doubt it will ever go away. I gave you chances over and over again, but you threw them away. You've broken my son's and my heart's. I won't let you do that again. Neither will I let us be your second choice simply because Rowan no longer wants you. We're done, Emma. He doesn't give me a chance to reply. With that, he turns, walks inside, and slams the door in my face, leaving my heart bleeding on the floor. This is all my fault. I'm responsible for my own heartbreak. If only I'd pulled my head out of my ass sooner. If only I'd tried making amends when I had the chance. If only I hadn't been stubborn, maybe things would be different. Maybe I would have a relationship with Gunnar. I stand there for a while before walking back to my car, defeated, feeling like I've lost everything. I wipe the tears that fall down my face like a flowing river. He is right, though. He gave me so many chances, yet I blew them. I only have myself to blame, no one else. Chapter 312. Letty and Corinne were supposed to be arriving in the next few minutes, but one couldn't calm down. To be honest, I don't even know why the hell I was so nervous. Ava, should I prepare the drinks and snacks for your guests? Teresa asks, stepping into the living room. I nod my head. Yes, that will be great, thank you. Iris was soundly asleep in her bassinet, Noah was at school, and Rowan was at work. I sigh in frustration. Noah was still pretty pissed at me for forcing him to invite Sierra to his birthday party. He wasn't even talking to me. Whenever I asked him a question or talked to him, he would just glare at me. His behavior and attitude just pisses me off even more. I get he doesn't like the girl, but refusing to invite her while everyone else comes to his party is downright cruel. I refuse to have a hateful son. Besides, he doesn't even have to talk to or interact with her. I'm sure there will be enough children there to keep her occupied. I take a seat on the floor and cross my legs. My mind moves on to Rowan. He was the other bane of my existence. Maybe I am stupid or maybe I am delusional, but I decided to give him the chance he asked for. Rowan has never begged in his life, so this must be important. Hate me or love me, but I'm going to hold off the need to know the truth until I can't anymore. Right now, I just want to enjoy this life blissfully before things crumble, because, trust me, I know that once my memory returns, this perfect illusion will crumble. Ma'am. His voice startles me, and I look up at Morris, one of the guards hired by Rowan. I've made it a point to know the names of everyone who works for us. Yes. I wanted to inform you that you have some guests. I give him a small smile and say, "Thank you, Morris," and let them in. He nods his head and leaves. Taking a deep breath, I try to calm my beating heart, and I stand up. I feel the need to start pacing. Instead, I force myself to sit down and relax. Seconds later, Letty and Corinne walk in. Letty wore a white and black off-shoulder pair of shorts and sneakers. It made her look young for her age. Corinne, on the other hand, wore a cream vintage t-shirt, a pair of blue jeans, and nude wedge heels. Top, a black high. I greet sheepishly, standing up. Plus 15 bonus. I wasn't really sure what to do. Should I shake their hands? Should I hug them? Did I want to hug them? Before I can decide what to do, Corinne rushes to me and envelopes me in a hug. Seconds later, Letty joins, making it a group hug. "Damn, I've missed you so much, Ava," Corinne whispers in my ear, emotions clogging her voice. I don't say anything. Just hug them back. In my current state, I didn't really know them, but deep down, my heart and soul just connected with them. I can't explain it. I just knew that they were my people. Our moment is interrupted by Iris' loud wails. We step away from each other as we all chuckled. I move and get her from the bassinet. She immediately quiets down, but now she was wide awake. My niece, Letty, squeals, taking her from my hand and peppering her face with kisses. Iris's eyes widen, and I'm afraid that she's about to cry, but she doesn't. She just stares at her as if she was a specimen she was studying. 1. We take a seat just as Teresa arrives with drinks and snacks. After greeting my two friends, she leaves us to our own devices. Damn girl, you know how to choose good jeans for your babies. First, Noah. We all know that boy is going to be as good looking as his father. He will be giving a lot of girls sleepless nights. And now, Iris, she's going to be drop dead gorgeous, especially with her blue eyes, they're hypnotizing just like Ethan's. Letty breaks the silence. I just chuckle because I know it's the damn truth. My kids were gorgeous, there was no denying that. Chapter 313. True, but yours will also turn out good looking. I mean, you're gorgeous and Travis, despite his flaws, is hot. Corinne chimes, you haven't seen him without clothes, the guy is a masterpiece, Letty says with a smirk. I crunch up my nose, please stop, I beg her. We may not be real siblings, but all my life, he has been my brother. Hearing Letty talk about him in that regard makes me want to buff. She looks at me and laughs, but she doesn't continue on the topic. I turn to Corinne. What about you? Maybe you should date Gabe, Letty suggests. She's so giddy, it's amusing. It would be so cool if we all dated the trio best friends. No thanks. Gabe is a Casanova, for heaven's sake. It's said he has a new woman every week. Besides, he's not my type, she pauses. Plus, I don't have time to date or be in a serious relationship, she answers with a shrug. So you're not sleeping with anyone? Letty asks her. Corinne takes a moment to answer. She takes Iris from Letty's arms and cradles her, then kisses her forehead. It warmed me that both of them loved my daughter. No. I haven't had sex in months, she finally answers. Anyone you like? I question her. She averts her eyes. Something flashes in her eyes. It was too fast for me to read, and it got me really curious. Corinne. Letty must have sensed something too, because she says her name in a warning manner. Her eyes look at us before they shift away again. I don't know how I knew it, but she was hiding something. She was debating something. Out with it, I tell her, the words flowing effortlessly out of my mouth. I felt so comfortable with them. With any other person, I don't think I would have told them that. Fine, she says, taking a deep breath. Reaper showed up at my house 2 days ago. Letty gasps in shock, but I just stare at them in confusion. Who's Reaper? I've heard Rowan mention him before. Reaper is the king of the underground, a crime lord. He's a criminal. He's the one that killed my eyes widen at that information. Of everything I thought and wondered about him, nothing came close to Letty told me. A criminal? Seriously? Why would Rowan be in communication with a criminal? I was genuinely puzzled. Reaper didn't seem like someone Rowan would associate himself with. Because, 1, he was your friend, I cut her off before she can finish her sentence. Why the hell would I be friends with a criminal and someone that kidnapped me? I almost shout, but then I remembered Iris. She was struggling to stay awake. Letty glares at me, as I was saying before you rudely interrupted me, Reaper is Ethan's brother, meaning he's Iris's uncle. As if things couldn't get worse, she had to just drop the final bomb to leave me speechless and confused as hell. I watch sightlessly as Corinne stands up and lays Iris back inside her bassinet. Once again she was fast asleep. I thought Ethan was adopted. I ask confused. Corinne and Letty proceed to tell me everything single thing. It honestly blows my mind. Who would have thought that the man that killed the man that adopted me, is my daughter's uncle? No wonder people always say that it's a small world. So what are you planning to do about him? And what did he want? I ask Corinne, who by the look of it is confused about the whole situation. Isn't it obvious? He wanted to fuck, she shrugs. He was hoping for a no-string relationship until we could both fuck each other out of our systems. As for the other question, I don't know what to do. I'm not promiscuous, I never have been. I've been with one person too, actually, so I don't really know what to tell her. Corinne and Letty looked more experienced when it came to sex. You two had a moment when he came to the hospital that day. I think everyone who was paying attention noticed. There is way that he looked at you. Like he was hungry and you were his next meal, Letty casually says, her eyes drilling into Corinne's. Chapter 314. So what do you think I should do? Corinne asks, looking at the both of us for answers. First things first, do you want him? I curiously ask. That was the first question she needed to ask herself. We couldn't proceed until she answered that question. Well, I'm insanely attracted to him, but I don't know if I should get involved with him. The police are still on his trail, and I don't want a relationship that will blow up in my face and ruin everything I've worked for, she answers after a while. I get what she meant. Reaper wasn't just anybody. He was a criminal, meaning getting involved with him would have dire consequences, which made me wonder what the hell I was thinking being friends with the man. I get he's Iris's uncle, but the man is dangerous and wanted by the freaking cops. I think you should do it, try. Fuck him once then decide from there, Letty tells her. I go to interrupt her, thinking she's out of her mind, but she cuts me off. Hear me out. We both know that Ava isn't someone to trust blindly. Well, except for Ethan, she's a pretty good judge of character. Even with Ethan, we can admit he's a decent guy. He only allowed greed and power to get in his head. He wanted what he though was rightfully his. The fact that Ava gave Reaper a chance means something. She isn't stupid and wouldn't do anything that would risk Noah and Iris or put them in danger. I trust her judgment and I think you should too. Two, besides, didn't he say he was working on something to clear his name? It might be legal, it might not, I honestly don't care. Not when Travis told me the effort he is putting to make sure that Ava is safe. So yeah, I think you should give it a shot if you really want him to MN, I wanted to argue, but I couldn't. Letty had a good point. I would never put my children in danger or risk their safety. I may be naive but I wasn't stupid. If I gave Reaper a chance, it meant that against all odds, against what he did for a living, against the target on his back and against his dark personality, I trusted him. I sigh, knowing that Letty is right. Turning to Corinne, I watch her as she thinks the entire situation through, weighing the pros and cons. So what will you do? I mumble, waiting for her answer. She takes her time, before finally releasing a breath of air. "This might be the worst mistake I'll ever make, but I think I'll take him up on the offer. I'll give it one night, and if the sex is good then I'll accept his proposal. Besides, it will suit me fine. I don't have time to date or look." She pauses before continuing. "Plus, it's another fuck you to my father. He always hated me because I wasn't born a boy. That's why he gave the construction company to my brother even though I am the eldest. Nothing I did was ever good enough for him, and in retaliation, I did everything he didn't approve. Anything that could spike up his blood pressure." Wow, seems like I wasn't the only one that didn't have an easy childhood. I'm glad though, that it didn't break her. "I never knew that, Corinne, why have you never said anything?" Letty takes Corinne's hand in comfort while I rubbed her back. "It's not something I want people to know. Besides, I'm trying to move on and heal. Talking about it means remembering, and I don't want to remember." We nod our heads in understanding. "After all, aren't I in the same situation now? I'm trying to move on and forget Rowan's past mistakes." Anyway, she cuts the silence after a while and faces me. "How is your relationship with Rowan?" I groan. "We have a date today and I have nothing to wear." Chapter 315. "Seriously?" Letty asks, shocked. "Yes," I answer. "I went through my closet today just to be prepared, and there is nothing date-worthy there. I didn't even have a short little black dress. To be honest, this is surprising. I remember that one memory I had of Ethan. We went on a date and I had a pretty tight red dress. Not that I was planning to wear it, but it wasn't in my closet. I had nothing but some pair of jeans and sundresses. Worry not, our dear friend, we will help you. In fact, I think we should go shopping," Corinne beamed in a sing-song voice. That sounded exciting, but I couldn't help but wonder about Iris. I didn't want to bring her along because we all know that shopping is a long and tiring process, but I also didn't want to leave her here. "I don't know," I murmur, biting my lips. It's not that I didn't trust Teresa, but I just didn't feel comfortable leaving her with her. It would have been okay if Noah or Rowan were around, but they weren't. "It's about Iris, isn't it?" Letty asks while searching my eyes. Instead of answering, I just nod my head. I really wanted to go shopping. I've been cooped up in this house for so long that it's driving me crazy. Besides, I wanted this experience. I never had girlfriends growing up. No friends to go shopping with or talk about boys and such stuff. This was all new, even though I know we've probably done this before, so I wanted to experience it. "If it troubles you so much, I can lend you one of my dresses so that we can bring Iris with us. We can always go shopping at a later date," Corinne suggests, and I smile. I've only interacted with these two a couple of times, but so far, I like them a lot. They're kind, lovely, and pretty great friends. No wonder I became friends with them. "Thanks, but let me talk to Rowan first, and then we can figure something out." I stand up and leave them to have their drinks while I go upstairs. I'd left my phone there since I rarely use it. I spot it on the bedside drawer immediately when I get there. Picking it up, I dial Rowan's number. He picks up on the first ring, which just warms my heart. This is something I have noticed since I woke up. Unlike before, when he would rarely take my calls, these days, he answers on the first ring as if he were waiting and eager for my call. Hi darling, how's your day? And have Corinne and Letty arrived yet? His deep voice comes. I don't think I'll ever get tired of hearing him call me sweet names, especially when he says it in his deep and sexy voice. There is just something about it that renders me weak in the knees. Hi, I squeak for some unknown reason. It's great, honestly. Those two are, honestly, amazing. They even wanted to take me out shopping for tonight's date. Glad to hear that. Is the matter concerning shopping the reason you called? You do know you don't need my permission to go anywhere. Provided you have a bodyguard with you, then I don't mind. I never thought I would ever be in this position. I hated being followed around by a bodyguard as if I were someone important, but I also understand that until they catch whoever tried to kill me, then this is my life. No, that's not the reason. I don't want to take Iris with me, but I also don't want to leave her here with Teresa. He's quiet for a while. I sit down on our bed as I wait for him to speak up. Maybe he could give me a solution to my dilemma. How about you give me some time to come up with something? He asks, and I nod, forgetting that he couldn't see me. Chapter 316. Yeah, sure. After that, he hangs up. I breathed out, feeling disappointed that he didn't offer a solution. At this point, I think either I take Corinne up on her offer, or we just go with Iris, which will be a huge headache. Shopping with a baby usually is. Taking the phone with me, I head downstairs. Iris was still asleep, and Corinne and Letty were chatting. The snacks Teresa had brought were almost finished. So, what did he say? Letty asks after swallowing a cookie. I answer with a shrug, nothing much. He just told me to wait as he comes up with something. I take my seat and pick up a cookie. Shoving it in my mouth, I chew and almost moan at how delicious it was. Teresa told me that she uses a secret recipe that was passed down from her great-grandmother. I'm yet to convince her to share the said recipe. Damn, Teresa knows how to bring about a food orgasm. This is freaking amazing, Corinne praised as she took another cookie. I just smile, knowing that she's right. Noah can't get enough of them, and neither can I. Rowan doesn't really love sweet things, but he tried them once, and he had to admit that they were good. If Teresa ever decided to start a cookie business, she would sell. That's how good she was. We continue to chat and fill ourselves with Teresa's goodies. 30 minutes later, there was still no word from Rowan. Exhaling in defeat, I turned to Corinne. I think I'll take you up on your offer. It'll be hectic shopping with Iris, and at this point, I don't think Rowan will get back to me. Sure. I have this black dress that I'm sure would look amazing on you, she says with a smile. I was just about to leave to go and change since I was in a pair of sweatpants when I heard the door open. Frowning, I pause, wondering who it was. I'm surprised when Rowan appears in the living room. Hello, ladies, he says to my friends before coming to me. He doesn't even wait for them to greet him back. Taking me in his arms, He kisses me like he's thirsty and I'm the only drink left. What are you doing? I ask after we break apart. It wasn't even noon yet. Now go and change so you're not swallowing. I turn around and leave. The TV powerful was on top of the word all the while fooling his eyes on me. It made me. It doesn't take me long to finish dress dug up. Just like Corinne, loaded for a shirt and pair of jeans, but instead of wedges, I wore flats. There was no way I was going shopping wearing weeksages or heels. 80 feet would be falling. I take my purse and rush downstairs. Howan was seated on one of the chairs, feeding Iris, who was now awake. Corinne and Letty were studying him, seeming mesmerized by him. I'm ready, Lon ounce, catching their attention. Great. Both Letty and Corinne stand up and begin leaving. I walk to where Rowan is and give both him and Tries a kiss. Before I can leave, he grabs my hand. He gives me a dashing smile that leaves me mesmerized by it. Well, you said you wanted to go shopping, so I'm here to babysit while you do your thing. You can't do that. What about work? I ask, still stunned by the words coming out of his mouth. Rowan chuckles. The good thing about being the boss is that I can do whatever the fuck I want, including leaving to babysit my daughter so that my woman can go shopping with her friends. Damn him. He knew how to make me weak with his words. How the hell have I never realized that Rowan is a charmer? This is the Rowan I fell in love with. Not the cold, cruel man that I got married to. Now go and change so you're not late, he uttered, while his finger tapped my ass lightly. Swallowing, I turn around and leave the room, all the while feeling his eyes on me. It made me feel powerful.